Good morning. It's a blessing to spend this Lord's Day with you. Let's begin by going to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our Father, our God in heaven, we thank you again for all the blessings of this life. Father, we thank you for all the physical, material blessings, our food and clothing and shelter, and so many other physical blessings, Father, you normally bless us with, above and beyond our basic needs. Father, we thank you for all the blessings that we find in Christ, the spiritual blessings of forgiveness and hope and peace. And Father, so many more blessings that are only found in your Son, Jesus. Thank you for your word. We thank you for this time we can spend together in your word. We pray that we might allow your word to sink deep into our hearts and our minds. And Father, that what we learn from your word, we might live out in this world. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning's lesson focuses on the church, which is also referred to throughout the New Testament as the temple. So we're going to focus in on the church being referred to as the temple. There are several occasions in the New Testament when the church is referred to as the temple of God. The temple was very significant in the Old Testament because this is where man worshiped and offered sacrifices to God in order to maintain an ongoing relationship with their God. The spiritual temple, the church in the New Testament, resembles the temple in the Old Testament in several ways, not in every way. This morning we're going to explore ways the spiritual temple referred to in the New Testament resembles that Old Testament temple. The Old Testament temple was built under divine direction. And the New Testament temple is built under divine direction. We as Christians are being built into a dwelling place by God and for God. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 19, following through verse 22, we read, "So then, you, Christians, are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." So the church, us being the church, the Christians in Ephesus that Paul was writing to, being the church at that time, is not built on the foundation of a physical building. We appreciate God blessing us with physical buildings to worship in and to fellowship in and to use for his purposes. But we, God's people, his family, are the church. Jesus is referred to as the cornerstone. We find this reference in Psalm 118:22 as well. "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone," referring to Jesus Christ. Literally, he's the head of the corner. David Lipscomb's commentary describes the chief cornerstone as a massive stone in which the two lines of the wall at their foundation meet, by which they are bonded together, and on the perfect squareness of which the true direction of the whole walls depended. Since the slightest imperfection in the cornerstone would be indefinitely multiplied along the course of the walls. In other words, if the cornerstone was not square and right, the whole rest of the building and structure would be out of square. Every individual in the church and in Christ is a living stone making up this holy temple. This is what Peter refers to in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. "And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, you Christians also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So every individual who makes up this spiritual temple, every living stone has its appropriate place. And every living stone is valuable and important to the structure of this divinely built temple. This divine temple is built for a divine purpose, the same as the Old Testament temple. Divine purpose being one of the purposes being to glorify God. We're called as Christians to glorify God in our bodies, and our individual bodies are actually referred to as a temple of God. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 15 through 20, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh." Continuing on in verse 17, "But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him." Now we've joined ourselves with the Lord when we repented of our sins, confessed our faith in Christ, and we are baptized with Christ in that watery grave of baptism. We became one in spirit with the Lord at that time, as our sins were forgiven and we were given as a gift the gift of the Holy Spirit. Continuing in verse 18, "Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." So as Christians, we are no longer just our own. My body is not just my own. I've been redeemed, and you've been redeemed as a Christian, purchased back into the very possession of God. We have good reason to glorify God in our body, just a few of which are the fact that we're members of Christ. We're members of the body of Christ. As Paul points out, we've been united with Christ in spirit. We're one spirit with the Lord. Our body is the dwelling place or the temple of the Holy Spirit. What a blessing. That's a blessing, of course, that only comes from God Himself. And we have been purchased, as I mentioned, or ransomed out of slavery and captivity to sin, and purchased back into that very possession of our loving Father in heaven. So now we glorify God with our good works. Jesus referred to these good works in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Jesus gives these examples of a city on a hill and a lamp on a stand, because the city on a hill, the light of the city on the hill could be seen from a distance. As they were entering into the city, it could be seen from afar off. When he talks about the lighting a lamp and not putting it under a basket, the lamp and is lit, and the purpose of the lamp is to be put on your nightstand, or as he says here, lampstand, and to give light to the whole room so you don't trip and fall. It has its purpose. So why would you hide it under a basket? So he says our purpose as Christians, our natural purpose, is to let our light shine before men. And of course, we're reflecting the light of our Heavenly Father in heaven. Notice he says that our good works will be obvious to others, that they may see your good works. But in that, we give glory to our Father who is in heaven for these good works that he works through us. We're built as a dwelling place of God. God does not dwell in temples made by hands, Paul points out in Acts chapter 17 and verse 22. So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects." This is Acts 17, starting with verse 22. "For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things." God does dwell in temples made with divine hands, we could say, with the very hands of God. And he now dwells in us. As we just looked at, he dwells in us individually and in us collectively as the church. Isn't that amazing? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" As we just looked at. Therefore, we should present ourselves as a living and holy sacrifice to God. What a great and grand and high calling from God himself. In Romans 11:36, we read, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." Following on in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship." So certainly we come together on the Lord's Day to worship God collectively as a church, to sing praises to him, partake of the Lord's Supper together, go to Bible class and learn more about his will for our lives, hear the word preached and taught. But really, we're called and challenged every day of our lives to offer up our lives as a living sacrifice to God. In all aspects of life, in every day and all we do, whether we're at work or at school or living in our neighborhoods, whatever we may participate in during the week. In conclusion, I'm going to repeat one of the scriptures we looked at earlier, 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 18 through 20, where Paul said again, "Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? You have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body." So it's also another way that, in a practical way, that we offer ourselves up as a spiritual sacrifice to God. In conclusion, this temple, the church, built by the divine hands of God, is being built under divine direction. It's built under divine direction with a specific purpose to glorify God in the church and for each one of us to glorify God in our personal bodies and our lives. It's being built as a dwelling place for God. Again, this applies to the church collectively as we come together, but also being built as a dwelling place for God, as we just read, that each one of our bodies is a dwelling place for God and for the Holy Spirit of God. So let's allow these facts to motivate us to let our light shine before men. and to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God each and every day of our lives. And in doing so, to bring honor to the builder of the house or the temple, God Himself, and Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we thank You for this lesson. We thank You, Father, for the blessing of being a stone in Your spiritual temple. Father, we thank You for Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Father, we pray that as we've learned today, that we could offer ourselves up as a spiritual sacrifice to You. Father, we pray that we could honor our own bodies, knowing that now Your Holy Spirit dwells within us. And therefore, Father, Your Holy Spirit dwells within the Holy Temple, the church, with all Christians coming together as a whole, as Your body, and as Your temple. Help us, Father, as we go out into this world to work. And Father, as we rub shoulders with other people and even unbelievers in this world, help us to be that light in the world that You've called us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn now, if you would, together over to the book of Mark, and we'll prepare our hearts and our minds for partaking of the Lord's Supper. Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 22, we read there, "While they were eating, He took some bread, and after a blessing, He broke it and gave it to them, and said, 'Take it, this is My body.' And when He had taken a cup and given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And He said to them, 'This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God.' And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer for the bread. Our Father, our God in heaven, we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, to this world, to this earth, as the bread of life. We thank You for His sacrifice on the cross. We thank You, Father, that after Jesus offering Himself as that perfect sacrifice, and after His crucifixion, Father, in those 3 days in the tomb, that He was raised from the dead and now sits at Your right hand in heaven. We pray now that as we partake of this unleavened bread, we might do so in a way that's pleasing in Your sight. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer for the fruit of the vine that represents the blood of our Savior shed on the cross. Our Father and God in heaven, as we partake of this fruit of the vine that represents the blood of our Savior, Father, we pray that we may do so in a way that's pleasing in Your sight, appreciating, Father, the forgiveness of our sins that it provides initially as we come to faith in Christ and we're baptized into Him. Father, also the continual cleansing that's promised as we confess our sins to You and allow that blood to continually cleanse us of our sins. We pray that we can partake in a way that's pleasing in Your sight, remembering His great sacrifice. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer once again before we go and face whatever it is we have to face in this coming week. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our Father and God in heaven, we thank You again that we can come to You in prayer at any time. And even throughout this coming week, we can come to you in prayer, whether it's at home or at work, at school, or wherever we may be in whatever circumstances we may find ourselves in. We thank You that You're always there, You're always willing to listen, and You're attentive to our prayers. Be with us, please, Father, through this coming week. Please grant us the strength that we need, Father, the wisdom, the the boldness, the faith, to live this coming week in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. And that we might live up to your high calling and expectation of us to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.